each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna all around.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And if you've got a Bible, let's open it up to two places this morning. Psalms chapter 55. I think today's the 55th day of the year, if I got my count about right. And also James, no, I'm sorry, 1 John. 1 John in chapter 2. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I appreciate each of you coming out. And I was talking and encouraged again, and trying to encourage again. Some churches, we're not the only church struggling a year with attendance, dwindling attendance. And appreciate again that here in upstate New York, boy, there's a turning away from God that's more rampant than even in the rest of the country. I believe, again, as we see the liberal conditions, it's good to make contact with several pastors that left New York State and are encouraged. And so, again, not that we shouldn't be encouraged in the Lord, but again, understand that the ministry here in New York is a challenging one, in Yates County probably more particularly. And so we're strengthened and encouraged and appreciate again being out at Chi-Lai with a bunch of young people for that 3 days, again, Thursday night. Brother Eddie Wyatt's been coming up there for, what did he say, 29 years. This is his 29th year of preaching up there. And a long time ago, right after they began, they used to have all kinds of activities at Chi-Lai, youth activities. They'd go bowling and all kinds of other activities they had going on. They decided to trim back on activities and make an emphasis on the preaching of God's Word. And so for the past 25 years, they've had that emphasis, and the preaching has just gotten sweeter and sweeter. So we sat there at, what was it, Thursday night and Friday night at about 10 o'clock again, thinking, I ain't had enough. This is good. I just can stay a little longer again. And so appreciate again some good preaching. And I got enough outlines that I could just go ahead and skim through them this morning, but we want to continue on here in our look in 1 John chapter 2, and I've only got three verses that we want to look at here today. So before we look at them, let's go back and look at the theme of what we're looking at here and why we're looking at it in this year of 2024 here with a closing of February. And it says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I like John. I like his writings because he writes why he wrote. And he has spent several times in this section teaching the reason I'm writing this. And he'll do it some more before we're through with his little epistle here. Verse 4 says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And boy, again, I want that we would be full of joy, and full of glory, and full of the presence of the Lord. And boy, we need that in the dark day that we live in. So we're over here to 1 John chapter 2 and want to continue on with his charge to little children that he started there in verse 18. Before we do that, let's turn over appreciate the prayers that have been lifted. Tim is in the hospital down in Arnett with a infection and is loaded up on antibiotics. I'm nervous about antibiotics. Probably is not as nervous as the Overtons might be. But Brother Overton's still in the hospital. Had to have his pacemaker taken out because of the infections, blood infections, and infections around the connections of his pacemaker. And so please keep them in prayer. He's touch and go still. And so I pray for Rich and Mary Overton there and their ministry, their love for the Lord, and now the trial that they're in. And boy, I can think of others. I think I saw so many. Brother Willie O'Dell's son had a stroke. Boy, we just spent several days in prayer for him. I think about Chilai is I've got ample time, again, just to spend on my knees in prayer and spend about 3 days in prayer. What a precious time. And we have much to pray about, and we have much to praise about. Look with me at Psalm 55, and think about your prayer life, and think about David's charge here, about his prayer. Several verses, again, that come to mind when I think of David begging for the ear of God. And look at this one here in Psalm 55. It says, Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. In the margin of my Bible, in the margin of Beverly's Bible, we have scratched in Betty Smalley's name right there on that verse. Her theme was, Oh, that I might fly away from all that's going on here in this old world. And notice again, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. And so praise the Lord for answered prayer. Let's turn back to 1 John again and his ability to give us rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, wow, rest. Praise the Lord. And so let's go ahead and pick up that theme just a little bit and highlight it and outline it a little bit here. In 1 John chapter 2, I said we'd preached all the way through this many antichrists that we looked at last week. And we left off there, I think, in verse 24 about abiding in him. Let's pick it up there in verse 24. In 1 John chapter 2, let's stand for the reading of God's word, if you would, and then you follow along in your Bible. Give you one more stretch before the preacher starts into a dialogue that put us all to sleep. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 says, Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Verse 25, And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you again, Father, for our abiding in you. That's a command, and that's a suggestion. That's a helpful hint in your word. And I pray again that you'd help us with that, encourage hearts, and Father, cause again, as we consider some of these things, that you'd again just give us a joy of our salvation anew and afresh on this day. In the name of Christ, we praise you. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. The theme up at Chilai was things that are precious, precious things. God has given us precious things. And Eddie Wyatt covered the precious life. And we have a precious life. And I just want to emphasize some of the things again that come out and are certainly applicable to our portion of Scripture here. And look at verse 25 again. And this is a promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. If you've got eternal life, you've got a precious life. I was watching some of the things in the news. I was considering some of the things, even of the murder plots and the things that's going on in our society, sometimes right in our own neighborhoods here, and considering, again, all the struggles and all the mess that's going on in this world. And people's lives are in a mess all around us. And it's getting worse. And it's going to get worse again. And so as we live in perilous times and recognize, again, we've lost control of young people and their upbringing, even to the point where we heard several messages about discipline and being brought up with discipline or not. And the or not has taken over in our society. Timeouts have not worked and will not work. God's word will work. And so as we consider, again, some of the plight we're in, boy, again, I just want us to wallow in the fact that you have a precious life because of it's an eternal life. Our life is precious because it's eternal life, and we have it. Several precious things, again, are given. And again, they were summarized here with the promises that are given to us. And I want to look a little bit at those promises that were given to us. And the first, again, is everlasting life. That we have eternal life. Think about eternal life as, again, as it's like eternal, all right? And if it's eternal, you can't lose it. You've got it. Again, and so that's precious, again, to know again that Jesus said some things about, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And so the promises that he's made to us, when he's quickened us, when he's made us again alive with a little seed of eternal life that's spoken of here by John, that we have an eternal life, and that is precious to have. In a world, again, that's people trying to hook their lives on all kinds of crazy things. In a world, again, where they've got college students addicted to the idea that they're going to save the planet by shutting off all fossil fuel use. Some of the stupidity that they've got going. I just seen, Beverly read me an article in the paper or someplace that they're trying to pass a law now that we don't have to mandate electric school buses by, 35, is that what it was? And so they figured out that that's stupid. That's impossible. That would shut down our whole school system in New York State. And it would triple everyone's taxes in order to pay for electric buses by 2035, I think they said. And so let's move it out to 2045. Let's move it over to the trash can and say that's the stupidest thing that's ever been decreed. But again, our school system and especially our college system has got to have something so that young people could hang their life on doing something worthwhile with their life. And they've thrown God completely out of the picture. And so now they're trying to hang on saving the planet. It is insane some of the things that's going on. I saw another on the news, I think it was last night, or maybe that was another article you read there, that they're passing a law. I forgot which state it was. They've got legislation in so that you don't have to call a queer person by their pronoun. Again, there's people thrown in jail for that. People kicked out of college because talk about freedom of speech or not. That we don't have to use the pronouns that a person wants. It's not their right to pick a pronoun that they get called by, and they can't put people in jail for using a wrong pronoun. What an idiot society we live in where they've got to pass a law that says, I won't be thrown in jail because. Where was I going with that? We live, anyway, in a world that's twisted and it's upside down. And people need something to live for. What was it Dave said, that you evolved here from nothing and you've got no purpose? What was that evolution slam? And no future or something.
Absolutely everything was created by absolutely nothing.
Absolutely no purpose again. And so they're searching around trying to give young people a purpose to live. And again, I want us to stop and look at what's going on in this world for a moment. And it's sad. It's scary. It almost makes you laugh again sometimes for the stupidity of it all. But I want you to recognize that you've got a precious life in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you got saved, you got a precious life, eternal life. You've got a purpose in your life. I praise the Lord. It's come up a couple times, seems like this week, this month again, that our purpose is not to fix our government. Praise the Lord, okay? Our purpose is not to reform government and to get this thing back on track. Our purpose, again, is much greater than that. It's, again, that we'd be ministers of reconciliation. That's it. That we could look at our neighbors, that we could look at people around us and say, hey, I need to be a minister of reconciliation, reconciling souls to Christ. And how do I do that? By telling them what happened to me. How did I get reconciled to Christ? And you'll have trouble doing that if you didn't get reconciled, right? But listen, if you're reconciled with Christ, God's put it in us with an unction that we can't help. There's that unction word that was in the previous lesson, that God moves in us with His Holy Spirit to cause us to be a witness and to tell others of what Christ has done for me. And so make that paramount in our lives, that we've got a precious life and we've only got one purpose. It's not to reform the world. It's not to fix the government. It's not to sustain the planet. It's not to stop the burning of all fossil fuels. It's not to, again, make everybody happy in the gender that they've selected. Our one purpose is that we would minister to others. That we would be ministering to others. And especially that ministering. Now, that includes ministering to saints, certainly. I don't want to leave that out. But it certainly also has an emphasis on being ministers of reconciliation, that we can tell others that Christ has a plan for their life and they can have a precious life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. And so, again, as we walk through even this week, again, let's just wallow in, if I could use that phrase, the fact that we have eternal life, that our life is precious in Christ. There's a whole bunch of verses. I wish I had time to go through them all. The one of them I couldn't find this morning as I rifled through my Bible, that God has His thoughts towards us are innumerable, and they're precious. And the things that He thinks about us, And we ponder. He ponders our heart. Listen. God ponders you. I don't know what that means to you, but that means that he doesn't quite understand what's going to happen next again. And he's watching, and he's pondering. And to me, you know, I want to remain respectful of God's sovereignty in all this. But God wonders what I'm going to do tomorrow morning. God ponders the decisions that I make. And he ponders again about whether Eddie Rice is going to get up in the morning and live for Christ, whether he's going to have his first conscious thought before his feet hit the floor is going to be on him or not. And I trust that it is, and that's my intention. But God ponders our way. God ponders our heart. God ponders our thoughts. And God's thoughts towards us are more wonderful than we could understand. And they're more innumerable than we could count. And your life in God's eyes is precious. We have a precious life. And God has given us that eternal life. And so it is precious and it is eternal. Look at the next verse here, verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. I want you to understand that there are seducers out there. We've just been warned here about what an antichrist is. And we looked at that last week to understand that there are false teachers out there. There are those that would mislead out there. And again, here we find an emphasis on the fact that there are, this is a warning, this is a concern that John has. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. And as far as seduction goes, it's never been more possible nor more rampant than it is today. If you don't believe me, just Google it. Just check with Wikipedia again. Again, you'll understand that, hey, we live in a society where misleaders are everywhere. I wish I could go down through all the rant that Tony Shirley went on up there about the things that, just the little things that you see on the internet. And he mentioned his back problem. I've got ankylosing spondylitis and wake up with back problems every day of the week. Somehow they know that. And so somehow, whenever I click onto Facebook, I hate clicking on Facebook anymore because I get more ads than I see of my grandchildren, which should make anybody mad again. And so they put up ads about how to relieve back pain. And some of them are pretty good, you know. Some of them are a whole list of things that you should do to stop back pain. Again, you think that we've just got a plethora of advisors that want to give you advice. And Tony went on to make a point that how many of them do you suppose are concerned about your well-being? Okay. They're not. They're concerned about their well-being, absolutely, okay? And so, as we look at the number of advisors, there's just a couple things that I wanted to point out here that would be clear to under this point that there are those out there that would seduce you. Look again at verse 27. It says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you." And let me stop and camp right there for just a minute to understand that there's a plethora of teachers out there, Bible teachers. Someone just told me recently that, oh, wow, he's listened to, I forgot her name, but it said the greatest preacher on the internet, and he gave me her name again and said I ought to go and listen to her. And I said, so she's a preacher on the internet? Yes, he's a great, great preacher. And the Bible says that she oughtn't be preaching, at least not to men again. And so here's a great teacher on the internet, a preacher, but she's a woman. Okay, Well, yeah, but she's got such good outlines. She's got such good points. And she just dictates right down through. She's a great teacher. But she's missed a point, okay? A lot of other preachers, and again, I say this considering, again, what I'm saying, there's a lot of good communicators, male preachers, even pastors on there. But again, they don't use a King James Bible. They use a modernist ecumenical Bible. And to me, that's not a strike against them. That's three strikes against them. I mean, if you got a preacher who doesn't have the common sense to understand that there's a war going on over the Word of God, and the ecumenical modernists have won the war as far as the versions and perversions that are out there, and they don't understand what a copyright Bible is about with 64,000 proven deviations from all previous Bibles. And they say, well, that's okay. The ESV in Psalms 136 does never mention the word mercy. My Bible mentions it 28 times, but theirs mentions it not at all. Zip, nada. Because that word was already used up, and so many copyrights ahead of them, they had to come up with another word for mercy. And the word they come up with has nothing whatsoever to do with mercy. Has nothing whatsoever to do with, in fact, not getting what you deserve. And so, again, when we have a modernist Bible and a teacher who's using that, they're normally using that because the majority of their audience loves that. And so they want to fit in with the majority of their audience. And I'm not going to be in the majority of their audience. That's all there is to it. I've got several books, and people give me books by authors who quote Bible verses, little b, Bible verses. I look at that and think, okay, he's got some good points here again, but what do I want to do with it? He's missed the main point. He's missed the main idea that, hey, there are Bible perversions out there, and he's promoting a Bible perversion. And so, Bible teachers on the radio, on TV, and certainly understand, look at this line again. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. And my label of who is out there trying to seduce Christians is wide open again. And those, again, who are on a straight and narrow path are on a straight and narrow selection list. And so, again, understand that there are those out there that deceive. And a good message up there was about where you get your advice by Tony Shirley. And he gave these 4 points. He says, is the person spiritual? Yes, they say they are spiritual, but are they spiritual? And if she, being a preacher, says that she's there as a spiritual teacher, again, they've got a big mark against them, again, as far as being spiritual, because they're not Bible. Are they spiritual? And again, you can't know all the people you find on internet. So I'd again only take those that are recommended by someone who is spiritual. Someone that you know for sure is spiritual and would recommend that you might read or listen to the information from that person. Number 2 is that person knowledgeable in the subject. Or is this just internet stuff? We got to get a lot of counsel given on the internet. And again, be careful, because there's not too many people that are knowledgeable. And even with those that would compromise on the King James, I have an even bigger list of those that would compromise on creation, a 6-day creation. They believe that the world evolved here millions of years. They're calling God a liar up front. And again, you want to take a grain of salt. I like Dr. Grumpy. I call him Dr. Gundry. and some of the things he has. But all of his stuff he tries to back by that how we're evolving to a higher level, and everything he says is built on an evolutionary theory that I despise. Again, as we take some of his wisdom again, boy, you got to take it with a bunch of grains of salt again to understand that, hey, and salt is good, by the way. I don't care what they say on the internet. I don't care what your doctor prescribes or not. The Bible says salt is good, and I'm sticking with that. I don't care what my blood pressure goes to. So is the person knowledgeable? Does the advice match the Word of God? Does the advice match the Word of God? If you know, again, in this verse that we just read, verse 27, says that, hey, we have an anointing to know the truth, the things that we have heard from the beginning, from our salvation, the things that we know to be Bible truth. Does this advisor deviate from what the Word of God says? Does he or she deviate from what the Word of God says about women preachers? Does he or she deviate from what the Word of God says about all Scripture, copies, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? And is profitable. Holy men of God spake as they were moved of God. And again, the Word of God is inspired, not the original manuscripts. They're long gone. And so now they take and say, oh, we don't have original manuscripts. So let me tell you what I think God meant to say. Throw all that in the garbage. And someone who's holding on to what someone else thinks God meant to say. Again, does it match the Word of God, the inspired Word of God? And then fourthly, does the person have my best interest in mind? And so we ought to have some advisors, certainly, and we ought to have some teachers in here. But notice what the verse says again, ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth. He's talking there again about the verse that he wrote over in John 14 that Jesus gave him that says, again, I'm going to send you a comforter and he will lead you into truth. And so we have on board, what is that? They send it, every time Trump says something, they send it to a truth detector or lie detector.
A fact checker,
okay. Listen, you have a fact checker on board. That's what that's saying right there. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I got another lesson we could give about what it takes to grieve the Holy Spirit. And if you ignore the Holy Spirit and tell him to shut up over and over, you'll grieve the Holy Spirit and he will shut up. But again, understand this. If you're a born-again Christian walking and abiding, as it says here in Christ, you have a fact-checker on board. And don't let some teacher drag you off into another dimension that's based on what the Bible might have said. Be careful again of that. And so we have this again, a charge that there are those out there to seduce you, but we have abiding in us a fact checker. We have the Holy Spirit of God that will guide us into truth. Brother Fielder, praise the Lord, I think I got him scheduled coming in here in June. Brother Fielder said this, no one became a Latter-day Saint by reading the Bible. No one became a Jehovah false witness by reading the Bible. No one became a Calvinist by following the teachings of John Calvin by reading the Bible. And so again, read your Bible. And understand again that the Holy Spirit isn't going to whisper truth in your ears. He's going to whisper truth through this book. You're not kept from sin by listening to the Holy Spirit whisper things in your ears. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Your faith is not going to increase because you have a vision or a hearing of the Holy Spirit talk to you personally. Your faith is going to increase because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so this is it. This is key. And we've emphasized this kind of since the beginning of the year that, boy, it's important for a Christian to read God's Word. And right now we're reading what? All the Levitical law. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us. If you want to know how to cure leprosy, Leviticus is a book for you again. But hey, we think, why do I read this? What was the other one? Numbers. Numbers chapter 1 and Numbers chapter 2. Listen, if you want a really good time, you pick up a Hebrew Bible and you read Numbers chapter 1 and 2 in English and in Hebrew. And I'll tell you what, by the end of that, you'll know the Hebrew alphabet and you'll be able to speak a little bit of Hebrew again. All those names again, they're sounded out in the Hebrew. And so we look at that and say, what's the value of this? Never mind what the value is. You just do what God said. You meditate in His Word day and night. And read the whole thing. There's not a bit that's unimportant. We just read all them offerings. Where one chapter has all 12 of the offerings. And every offering is exactly, word for word, exactly the same. Whenever I read that, I like to go back and put myself in the position of a scribe. I would just say, I'd put everything out first, and then I'd put ditto, 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 ditto again. But they didn't. They copied 12 pages of Hebrew text out for 3,000 years. They did that so that we could have a copy of the scriptures, and they were careful not to drop one dot or one tittle out of that text. And so you think about what God did to preserve His Word so that we could hold a copy of it. And then what 57 translators did over 6 years under the king's paycheck so that we could have a copy of it in English that matches all of the original languages. Listen, we ought to praise the Lord for this book, and we need to be in it. We need to be students of God's Word. And it, again, is where our counsel comes from. I've got several more from a bearded preacher who preached up at Chilai that maybe I'll fit that in next week, because it sure fits right in here with the things that John is warning us about. Look at it again one more time. Verse 25 says, "And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life." This week, I'd encourage you to take a little time and meditate on what eternal life is and the fact that God gave it to the likes of you and wonder at God and the life that He has given you. Verse 26, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Understand that there are seducers. There was in His day and there are today. And now they've got avenues into every aspect of your life through that little device we have in our pocket. We can look at seducers right up close and personal. Be careful. Be leery. And again, even Bible teachers who are, great Bible teachers, but man, they've got some systematic errors in their teaching. And don't think that they'll get away with that. And don't think that you won't be affected by their systematic errors. Father, praise you again. Thank you for your word. I thank you for the heart of John. I thank you that he could write to us as little children because he's concerned about us. And I pray again that we'd share his concerns, and as we'd examine them and outline them and re-examine them here in this precious little epistle, I pray again that you'd better equip us for life and for a walk with you, and that we'd begin it this week with just a glory and an excitement about the eternal life that you've given us and the eternal counselor that you've put inside of us. In the name of Christ, we praise you. Amen, amen. Let's stand and we'll dismiss again with that eternal life thought in mind. Let's just think, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord. my great salvation, so rich and free. Lord bless you as you step into this week. We've got a prayer list. Let's use it. There's folks, again, that we just need to keep in prayer. Lord bless you for worshiping today.
Ed?
Yes?
We need to get a count for those that want to go up to Central Falls for your game dinner. It's March 16th on the 5th. Or on the
fall. Okay. So there's two game dinners coming up. One is March 2nd up to Heritage, and another one March 16th up at Seneca Falls. And so if anyone wants to go to any of them, please let us know, and we'll go ahead and make sure we get a head count up to them. Lord bless you today.
Hold up.